Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the baby of Bethlehem, who also is the Savior of the world, dear fellow redeemed. By now, most of us should know that the word Advent means what?
Coming.
But during Advent, there's also several other very important and prominent words. One of them is repent, or repentance, as we heard 3 weeks ago in our first Sunday of Advent. Repentance prepares us for Christmas. But there's two other very important words, too, very prominent. Any guesses? One you can find if you look in your bulletin. It's found in the sermon theme this morning. Prepare. We prepare. Another one maybe is not as easy, and that's the word wait. During Advent, we prepare our hearts through godly repentance for the coming of our Savior as we patiently wait for that day. And so we patiently wait for Christmas, which is 6 days away. But during Advent, we also prepare our hearts through godly repentance for the second coming of our Savior as we patiently wait for Judgment Day. Proper preparation is really important. This is about every aspect of our lives, both physical as well as spiritual. If you're not properly prepared physically in this world, you'll probably lose that game. You might lose your job. You might lose your client. You might lose your money. Or worse, you might even lose your life. But if you're not properly prepared spiritually, you'll have the greatest loss. You'll lose your eternal life. Our text this morning are the first beautiful, simple verses of the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, which is the beginning of the Christmas message. Our theme is preparing for Christ. One of the reasons for the beauty of the Gospel message of the Gospel of Jesus' birth is because it's so simple. Luke doesn't get bogged down with all kinds of details. We're not told what day it is. We're not told what time of the year it is. We're not even told what year it is. We're just given the basic essentials in such a picturesque way. And I believe that Luke did it that way because when you just get the essentials, what's important? It's the event. When we have just these basic essentials, that magnifies the beauty, the majesty, and the importance of the event itself. Caesar Augustus ruled the Roman Empire, which ruled over much of Europe, Asia Minor, North Africa, and also the land of Israel, where Jesus was born. And he declared to have this census taken, this registration. I found out as I studied that this happened like once every 14 years. This was the first thing that was done when Quirinius, also called Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. The Jewish people did their registration a little bit different than other countries, though. They were so tied in with the 12 tribes of Israel, they said, you don't get registered where you live, you get registered where your ancestors lived. So you look back on your ancestry, and the hometown seat of your ancestors where you had to go to in order to be registered, in order to be counted, and then in order to be taxed. And so Mary and Joseph, even though they lived up in Nazareth, way in the northern part of Galilee, had to go to David's seat, his home seat, which was Bethlehem, 7 miles south of Jerusalem. That's why Mary and Joseph took this journey at this time when Mary was almost giving birth to the baby, traveling some 100 miles. Now for us, it's no big deal. But for them, going 100 miles, either by foot, or by donkey, or by horse, was a big deal, especially when you're just about ready to give birth. Now Mary and Joseph were engaged. They were betrothed. They had publicly made that announcement. All that was left was for Joseph to take her into his home and have the ceremony. But when they registered, we're told they registered together as husband and wife so that Jesus was not illegitimate. She was not registered as an unwed mother. Joseph was registered as his father. And that was all done according to God's plan. And later on we'll see exactly why Luke puts those seemingly insignificant details in our text. In Bethlehem, the most glorious gift ever was given. We know the words. We know the event so very, very well. Mary and Joseph must have gotten there after many people had already gotten to Bethlehem. It's a small town. When they got there, the inn, the motel, was filled. There was no place to go. Evidently, they didn't have close relatives to be able to knock on the door and say, "Can you take us in?" And so they looked for a place to stay, and they found a stable. So imagine, here is the all-powerful, almighty Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who took part in the creation of the world, and he's born in a barn. The place was definitely extraordinary. But his birth was ordinary. Jesus was born just like you and I were born. And he was wrapped in customary clothes, wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth to make him nice and warm and bound up tight. But his first bed was not a crib gilded with gold in a palace somewhere. A feeding trough. A manger. Jesus not only humbly came into this world to become a human being like you and me, he showed his humility by being born in a stable and laid in a manger. How silently this wondrous gift is given. No one knew what was happening. Not a soul was there to witness this great event, except for Mary and Joseph. The greatest gift ever given to mankind, and there was no fanfare, no publicity. It happened in a back alley somewhere, in some little insignificant town, in a little nation called Israel. But it's all according to God's plan. So as we look back upon this remarkable story, this lesson, we ask, how was the world prepared for the birth of Christ? And we see it really wasn't. Majority of the world were living their life like normal. Majority of the world under Caesar's rule were traveling. Imagine Israel and Europe and North Africa. People moving around, going to get registered, counted. If they didn't, we don't know what would happen to them. They were busy with their traveling, busy with going to their hometowns, busy maybe with seeing family members they hadn't seen for a long time, busy maybe with the family gatherings, busy with worrying about their taxes and maybe even screaming about how high the taxes were because the Israelites surely hated the Roman rule. For the most part, people in Israel and the whole world, unfortunately, weren't preparing at all for Jesus' birth. So now we jump ahead 2,000 years and we ask, so how is the world today preparing for Jesus' birth? And ironically, it's pretty similar, isn't it? People are concerned with traveling. And some are maybe concerned about taxes. At the end of the year, tax forms are sent out. Got to make sure our flex spending is all spent up so we have that taken care of. We worry about maybe what our taxes are going to be for next year. And the majority of the people in our country and in the world are busy traveling, many to their hometowns to see their parents or grandparents or grandchildren, traveling to get together and have family gatherings and giving gifts and celebrating what we call Christmas. And yet, even though Christ is the reason for the season, even though he's the heart and center of this holiday, even though he is the core of the celebration, for the most part, the people of this world neglect him and neglect to prepare for him. They go their merry way, concerned about traveling, seeing family, giving gifts, and all the other mundane things of this life. So how did God prepare for Jesus' birth? He made certain that everything was just exactly as he had planned. We read in Galatians 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman." When the fullness of time had come. That means when everything that God had prophesied in the Old Testament concerning his son's birth, all had been fulfilled, it was now ready. Caesar Augustus had no idea that his decree for this census was really doing God's will. He thought he was making history. But really it was God who was making history by having this unbelieving, ruthless king make this decree so that Mary and Joseph would go all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem as Jesus was to be born, as we heard this morning in our first reading. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem because it was prophesied that way. Remember, history is his story. All the past prophetic promises of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah's birth had to be fulfilled. Where? What? Who? When and how? Now, some of this already had taken place. The angel had already come to Mary, told her she would give birth to the baby Jesus. The Holy Spirit had already conceived in her womb the baby Jesus. And now they had traveled from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Both parents, both Mary, who is a physical descendant of David, as well as Joseph, who is a physical descendant of David, came and registered as such, so that Jesus was born physically from the line of David and also legally from the line of David, as God had also prophesied. Even the inn being full and being born in the stable, laid in a manger, it all had to happen exactly as God had planned. Nothing happened by chance or by fate. God planned that his son, rich though he was, creator of all the world, humbled himself to take on my flesh and blood and your flesh and blood so that we who are poor can become rich, spiritually rich as Jesus, with righteousness and holiness before our Heavenly Father, someday reigning with our Savior and our King. So Jesus was born in a barn as a little baby, human baby, susceptible to all temptations and illnesses and problems and sufferings and sorrows that we have, all of it marvelously planned out by God the Father, so it's fulfilled exactly as he had prophesied. And so our third question this morning is, how have we prepared for Jesus' birth? As you said, on that first Christmas night, prior to the announcement of the angels to the shepherds, there's only two people that knew this greatest gift ever given was given: Mary and Joseph. They were always too busy to note. They didn't care. They were too preoccupied. But only two had prepared: Mary and Joseph. They prepared for years, knowing the Old Testament. They prepared by going 100 miles to Bethlehem. They also prepared these last 9 months as they listened to and believed the angel's message that this baby would be the most special baby in the world. God in human flesh and blood. So Mary and Joseph traveled 100 miles in preparation for the birth of this baby. We have an opportunity this coming Saturday night, and also Sunday morning, to travel far less miles than that, in the nice comfort of our warm, cozy cars, to come to this house to worship our Savior. And we have been preparing our hearts, haven't we, during the last four Advent Sundays and our special Advent worship services on Wednesday night, preparing our hearts by repenting of our sins, preparing our hearts by looking to the real reason for the season, Jesus Christ, preparing our hearts by not allowing the clutter and the busyness of life to fill our hearts so much that we don't even realize that, oh, Christmas is already here. Preparing our hearts so we can come on Christmas Eve with repentant hearts and kneel at the manger and look into that manger and see my Savior, your Savior, the Son of God in human flesh and blood, who came for one reason, to live a perfect life of obedient love for me, and then die on the cross to pay for all of our guilt, and then rise from the dead to rule forever and assure us of a resurrection to everlasting life. So we continue to prepare our hearts this morning and throughout the week, so that on Christmas Eve we can come and we can sing songs like, "All my heart this night rejoices. O come, all ye faithful, silent night. Rejoice, rejoice, this happy morn. Christ the Lord is to us is born. We Christians may rejoice today. O rejoice, ye Christians, loudly." Christ was born when the world was in darkness. Not only the dark of night, the dark of spiritual darkness, sin and unbelief. And in that darkness, the majority of the world still remains today. The majority of the world lies in darkness. Oh, they're preparing for Christmas by buying gifts, visiting friends, putting up decorations, maybe even Christmas trees, but not preparing for Jesus' birth, not preparing their hearts with repentance, not preparing by looking at the great gift that God the Father gave to mankind. Today there's so much spiritual darkness in so many, many people's hearts. May we who have been having our hearts prepared by the Spirit go out and tell people the light of the world, Jesus Christ, has come into the world. For what purpose? To enlighten hearts of people so that they are brought to faith in Christ and know not just the purpose for Christmas, but know the reason for their salvation. Know their Savior, Jesus. May we with awe and wonder look at this story once again, the story we know so very well, and do like Mary did after the shepherds left. Ponder it this week. Meditate on it. Think about it. Dwell on it. Not just today or tomorrow or next weekend, but every day of our lives. Let's rise and join in reading Hymn 75, verses 1, 3, and 4. Hymn 75, verses 1, 3, and 4. Ye sons of men, O hearken, your heart and mind prepare to hail the Almighty Savior. O sinners, be your care. He who of grace alone our life and light was given, the promised Lord from heaven unto our world is shown. The humble heart and lowly God lifteth up on high. Beneath his feet in anguish the haughty soul shall lie. the heart sincere and right that heeds God's invitation and makes true preparation, it is the Lord's delight. Prepare my heart, Lord Jesus, turn not from me aside, and grant that I receive thee this blessed Adventide. From stall and manger low, come thou to dwell within me. Loud praises I will sing thee, and forth thy glory show. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.